We're going to look at another scripture from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or stand up, pick up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." You've probably heard that story many times, like me when I was a youngster, and through the years, the story of the paralyzed man. Is there something that you're thinking about this morning that comes to you from hearing that story again? What stands out to you? You can tell me out, you can just call it out. What stands out to you this morning as you heard that story again? Yep. Anything else? Well, let's unpack the story a little bit, because this is the story that God has given to me this morning as I was thinking and praying about all of the different things that are happening in my life. This is the story that Jesus brought to mind. You know what impresses me most about this story is the sheer effort of this man's friends in bringing him to Jesus. Jesus was back at home, his home base. Capernaum was his home base. He'd been away preaching, healing, doing all those things. Many people had witnessed these things. He was becoming more popular, if you like. People were wanting to see him more. And so when the news got around that he was back, the people flocked to see him. Now, Dale, is there a picture there that you got for me? Old Testament houses looked probably a little bit something like this. So the room, as you can see inside, is not very big. So they reckon about 50 people maybe might have fit in there. But it was jam-packed with people wanting to see Jesus in this home. And then we hear that there were four men who decided to bring their friend to Jesus. It seems to me from this story that they understood and recognized that their friend was in a pretty bad way. So they were determined to bring him on a makeshift stretcher bed to Jesus. The thought is that it was probably just a sleeping mat, because in those days they slept on the mat, on the floor, on just a mat. So they think that because this guy was paralyzed, he would spend all of his time on the mat. They would maybe have picked it up by the corners. But they were determined that this man, he needed Jesus. They had to work together. It was not going to be a one-person job. The four of them needed to join, to grab each corner of that sleeping mat and to bring him to Jesus. And when they got there, I wonder how they felt. How do you think they felt when there was this massive crowd and they could not get past it, through it? You know what it's like when there's a crowd and you've got even got kids. It's like, what am I going to do here? You just can't get through it, and they couldn't. But they weren't deterred by the crowd. They were desperate to get their friend to Jesus because they knew that is what he needed. They knew that they couldn't give their friend what he needed, but they were sure that Jesus could. They were certain that Jesus could, was the person that could help their friend. So they employed pretty amazing measures to help their friend. We're told that they got him up to the roof. Now, it's likely that there were stairs like that, that, as we can see in the picture, that led up to the roof, which is, as you can see, is flat. They'd often go up there to sleep when it was really hot. They'd bring up their mats and sleep up on the roof. So you can see that man up there with that, like a roller thing. He's kind of pushing down all the, what is the hay and straw and dirt and stuff to make it nice and waterproof, keep it down. So here they were, deciding to go up to the roof. They made then a very bold move of making a hole in the roof. Now, we're told that the roof was made from beams with branches of trees that went in between the big beams, branches of trees, and then a mixture, as I just said, of earth and straw, and it was often rolled down like that. So it wouldn't have been easy to get through, would it? But they came up with this idea that they were going to make a hole in that roof and lower him down. It wasn't just a simple job they undertook. It required great effort. Some Bible commentators say it was a major demolition job. And I'm thinking, you know, I wonder if they thought about what the owner of the house would say with a big hole in his roof. Were they going to have to fix it later? Were they going to be able to fix it later? Because it would have been difficult to patch and make it waterproof again. It was a really drastic move. You know, I've never thought about this before, but as I looked at this story more, I thought this was a drastic move to make a hole in the roof of somebody else's house and to lower this man down in front of Jesus. They were desperate that this man was laid at Jesus' feet. It was certainly not an easy task. I'm not sure how long it took them, but I imagine it would have taken them a while to make a hole big enough to lower a man down through the roof. It was a drastic move on their part, but they were determined to surmount all the difficulties and let absolutely nothing stand in their way. Now, when they'd made the hole, I can imagine that the people underneath, maybe there was stuff falling on their head and they're thinking, what on earth is going on up there? Of course, the roof wasn't this tall. It was we're told that it wasn't a really high roof, as we can see from there. They didn't have to lower him down a long way, but nevertheless, once they made the hole, that next thing was, how do we get the man from there down there? How do you think it happened? Did they have rope in their pocket, like all good men do, like Dale? Yeah, there you go, Dale. All good men carry rope. Did they have rope in their pocket? I doubt it. Because they remember, they hadn't expected this to happen. This was something that, it was a spur of the moment thing, something they decided to do because they were desperate for this guy to see Jesus. So how did they get him down? The suggestion is that two people jumped down, and as two people lowered him, they grabbed him as the bed came down or the mat came down. Is that what happened? We're not really sure. But whatever happened is they hadn't made plans for that. They had to think on their feet. They had to be creative. And of course, they had to be careful with this man because he couldn't move. He was paralyzed, so they didn't want to drop him. And so here he was, this man, on a makeshift mat bed, stretcher bed, the mat, being lowered down from a roof. But whatever happened, there's another suggestion that as it came down, that other people, you know what it's like when you see something happening, other people rush to help and they think that maybe that happened. It was either two jumped down or maybe they used something from their clothing to tie on the end and lower him down. You know, every picture I've seen is of him being lowered down with ropes. But when you think about it, that's not really practical, is it, in this situation, because it was happening on the spur of the moment. Whatever they did, though, they got this man to where they believed he needed to be, which was the best place for him to be. You know, they could have said, oh, no, it's too hard, it's too dangerous, it's not meant to be, we'll try another day. But no, they didn't do that. They persisted. In fact, they went to great lengths. We've just talked about those. Believing that this was the time, this was the day. This man needed Jesus right then and right there. And they were determined. So when they finally got the man at Jesus' feet, Jesus said to them, or recognized their great faith. He publicly acknowledged that they had shown great faith in lowering this man, in getting this man to his feet, to the feet of Jesus. Their faith was bold. They were determined in their faith, and it was clear for all to see. And Jesus acknowledged it. That's one thing that really impresses me about this story, is the actual determination of these friends to make sure that this man would be laid at Jesus' feet. Do you know what happened because of their faith? The sick man was healed, not just of his physical illness, but of his sins. He was the beneficiary of his friend's faith. He ended up forgiven. Hallelujah. He ended up healed and he walked out of there to the astonishment of the crowd. So not only was their faith beneficial for their friend, but these four guys, their faith was clear and people could see it. It was a testimony to other people that what great faith can do. You know, this story gives me hope because it encourages me to stand before Jesus boldly on behalf of others, and in particular my daughter-in-law at this time. It gives me hope. This story encourages me today because they didn't give up when it was too hard. They persisted. They took the hard road, believing that Jesus was the only one who could help. Nothing did or could deter their rock-solid confidence that Jesus was the one that could help this man. You know, we saw the clip before of the widow who was asking the judge to help her, and she kept asking and asking. And in the end, the judge says, oh, okay, I just got to, just to keep you quiet, I'll help you. You know, we need to persist. We need to show that we truly believe that God can and will answer our prayers, just like these guys believe that Jesus was the answer. We need to believe too. We need to have that belief. We need to persist. You know, if we got everything we asked for right now, what would we be like? What's a child like if you give them everything they want? They become spoiled, don't they? They don't appreciate things. They take things for granted. So in the story of the widow, we're reminded that God wants us to persist in prayer. Because it might not be the right time yet for that prayer to be answered. There might be a whole lot of things that have to happen first, because God sees the big picture. We need to be persistent, never to give up, like these guys. This story reminds me today that there's strength in numbers. Combined, focused, specific prayer is powerful. We've seen it before with Sunny. We've seen it in our church. I've seen it in my church that I was in Palmerston, when we were praying for a lady there that was very sick. And how much that encourages people too, when they can see that God answers prayer. So we need to pray as a group. Combined, focused, specific prayer is powerful. Remember what it says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Do you believe that? I'm asking this to myself too. Do you believe that, Glenda? The earnest prayer of a righteous person or righteous people joined together has great power and produces wonderful results. Tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of godly believers. We need to believe that today. The other thing about this story that really speaks to me is that Jesus knew the heart of the man that was laid at his feet. He knew how much he needed forgiveness. That was the first thing he offered him. Forgiveness. He knew that. He needed forgiveness and he also needed healing. You know, Jesus knows and loves those who we are praying for, those who we're feeling so burdened for. Jesus knows and loves them so much more intimately than we do. And we need to remember that. He understands them completely. He understands the burdens that they're carrying right now. You know, he cries for them. He loves them like the shepherd loves that one little sheep that got lost. One little sheep that got lost. That's how much Jesus loves them. He knows what they need. He is who they need. So we need to confidently lay them at the feet of Jesus. We need to persist in our prayers, not give up, to keep the faith, to believe that God will answer our prayers for those that we bring to him. As these guys went to all that trouble to bring their friend and we saw the results, we need to persist and believe that God will answer our prayers for those that we bring to him. At the end of the story of the persistent widow, Jesus said, "Did you hear what the ungodly judge said, that he would answer her persistent request? Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all of his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day. He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, just like the widow was with the judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people?" That's an interesting question, isn't it? When the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people? Do you have a passionate faith, a persistent faith? I think in our Western culture today, it's hard, isn't it? Because we're told all these things, we've flashed on our TV screens, all these things, and we seem to have more faith in the dollar than we have in God. We seem to have more faith in lots of things than we have in God. Sometimes I think we're victims of the culture that we live in. So today I'm asking myself this question. Glenda, where's your faith? Glenda, do you have a faith that persists, that believes, that never gives up? I can hear my friend, who will probably listen to this message on tape, who usually does, listens to our messages. I'm thinking of you, Chris, and I'm hearing what you're saying to me. Glenda, that's one thing. You need more faith. So today I'm saying, Lord, please give me more faith. Help me to be like those guys who didn't give up, who persisted. Because I know that Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for me and for you and for everyone. Don't be hoodwinked by the world's thinking. Don't be deceived. Jesus is the answer. So today, I'm going to exercise my faith, and I hope that you're going to help me do that. As we go into this time of bringing others to Jesus, this morning, on the table over there, there's a pen and there's some paper. I'm going to ask you to bring the people that are on your heart. And I know Effie's concerned about her mum at the moment. Bring the people that are on your heart. Write their name and bring them to the foot of the cross. It's a symbolic thing that we do this morning. I'm going to do that for my daughter-in-law. And I hope you'll do it for someone that's on your heart today. Someone that you might have given up on. Don't give up, because God answers our prayers and Jesus is the answer. I'm going to ask the guys at the back just to play some music quietly while we have the opportunity to bring those people, like those men brought their friend to Jesus. We don't have to go through a roof today. But we do have to get out of our seat. We do have to make an effort to come and bring those people that we need to the feet of Jesus, to the feet of foot of the cross today. Will you please join me as we do that?